It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, what's going on, my man?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in the way the football team performed, but we got other positive things to talk about. But
especially with the bye week on the horizon,
we've got
some extra time to work with here, and we ought as well use it, as you said, with a positive.
Yeah. But good morning, everybody, and War Eagle, glad to be here.
And you know, I do want to say, because it was a disheartening performance by Auburn. You and I were talking about this game against Vandy, 17-7 Commodores. And first of all, I do want to say, it may be unorthodox, but I do want to say congrats to Vandy, man. I mean, they beat Bama and Auburn in the same season. It's the first time they've done that since 1955. First win over the Tigers in Auburn in program history. And they're also bowl eligible for the first time since 2018. And I think this may have tied the all-time series with the Tigers because y'all have a pretty tight rivalry all time. So congrats to Vandy, but I look at how Auburn lost this game, and the best way I can describe it, and I think you would describe it the same way, is a bit confusing. It was a pretty sharp contrast when compared to what we saw from Auburn the week prior.
Oh, yeah, it's like they completely went with a different game plan. The previous game was heavy run, which I had been preaching since the beginning of the season. You know, run the ball. You got one of the best running backs in the league. And if you give him the ball more than 20 times at his level of production, I mean, you're extending drives, you're eating up clock, you're getting in the red zone, and it makes positive things happen. You know, 2 weeks ago, they gave him the ball 24 carries, I believe, 25 carries.
The better part of, at least.
Yeah, this week it wasn't. Wasn't anything like that, and his production went down. Of course, they had a better defense than what we saw.
Yeah, Vandy, they did come to play. But you have to sit here, and that was the main part of my confuzzlement, so to speak. I look at Jarquez, 12 carries, least he's had since Arkansas back in September. I don't know how you have a legendary game, 278 rushing yards, and you get 12 carries the next week. I don't know how that happens.
I do not know how that happens either. I mean, even though his average was only 4.2, that's still a good average. You give him the ball three times in a row at a 4.2 average, you're making first downs.
Exactly.
The total number of carries, not counting the quarterback, barely comes to 20, including Cobb, Alston, and Marcus Simmons. So they obviously did something in the way they wanted to put the offense on the field, and the production they were looking for did not include heavy run,
right?
Which left me scratching my head. You know, Auburn, we outgained Vanderbilt by 100 yards. They had 227. We had 327. Time of possession was almost equal, 31 minutes to 28 minutes. It's just not finishing drives, not driving the ball into the red zone, and when we did, we weren't very productive at all. I mean, you look at a game where you had 200-plus passing yards and 327 total yards, and you only come away with 7 points for the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, that's – man, that we can't put that kind of pressure on our defense for the whole season. We've got to figure out a solution on the offense to finish these drives, not make mistakes, and come away with points.
Yeah, and you know, I will give Auburn credit for one thing. Their passing offense, it seems like they did make an effort. I said last week, you're going to be in a position where the passing game is going to have to kind of be relied on more. I didn't mean neglect Jarquez like they did, but I wanted you to do more on offense through the air because it seemed like that's what it took to beat Vandy.
Well, Peyton Thorne had a good game.
Exactly.
He was 20 for 29, 239 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions.
That was huge.
He only had one sack. He did pull the ball and run with it a couple of times, and his production wasn't that bad. I mean, he had seven carries. Of course, that counts for all the times he was tackled.
Yeah, it's kind of skewed.
Yeah, those numbers don't really mean anything for him on the ground. The one time I did see him pull the ball down and carry it, he ran it for a first down. He was, I believe, 3rd and 4, and he took the ball 5.5 yards.
Yeah.
Which, you know, did what he needed to do. I feel like Peyton Thorne played a good game and performed well. It was the mistakes, 6 penalties for 47 yards, a fumble that resulted in points for them.
Yeah, pivotal.
It turned the ball over on the wrong side of the field and missed field goals. I mean, that's been what's going on with Auburn all year. Our kicking game is nothing like what Auburn's kicking game normally is. I mean, you know, we had the Carlson brothers, Daniel and Anders Carlson. You know, they're both in the NFL now kicking. You know, we have that with our primary kicker, but he's had that illness that he just can't get over, and he hasn't gained his weight back where he's in the same shape he was at the end of the season last year. And true freshman Magoo, he's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
You know, he was thrust into throwing him in the fire when he wasn't prepared for it. And, you know, now he's having to try to perform when he wasn't ready to perform. And I'm not going to beat him over the head for that. I mean, I can't imagine being a 17, 18 year old freshman. And all of a sudden now everybody's looking at you as the number one guy to kick the ball.
Yeah.
He can kick it. It's just his accuracy. Yeah, everything he misses seems to be a little bit of a pull to the left. I think almost all of his misses are to the left or they're short.
Yeah, he just needs to be better tuned. He missed 2 field goals. Neither of them were like chip shots. And if you're going to miss a field goal, I'd rather it be 45 plus than some of the chip shots he was missing earlier in the season. So I don't look at it as like, yeah, as if really something to crack on him for. It is. It's just another observation. It's something that we've seen from Auburn throughout this year. And that just all ties into the bigger issue of can't close a drive, can't score as much as you need to. And, yeah, Vandy, their defense may have been better, but only 7 points at home is nonetheless upsetting. Gosh, it's a perfect storm when it comes to Auburn with the underusing of Hunter, the trouble with the kicking game. That's why I did. I had to give Peyton Thorne some credit.
Yeah,
that's why I brought him up, because he did. He played a decent game, especially by his standards.
Peyton Thorne stepped up and performed as well as he did in any game I've seen him play in this year. The stat that really stands out for me for or against the performance of Auburn is 2 for 13 on third downs.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't win a game by doing that. They weren't that much better. They were 4 for 16 for third downs, but they converted their only fourth down try that they went for. The difference was they were able to finish their drives and make points off turnovers.
Yeah.
And we were the only team that had a turnover in the game.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and, of course, Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Yeah, talking about this Vanderbilt game, I give Vandy a lot of credit. They are a good team. That doesn't excuse how Auburn played, but it is an observation. And Auburn, coming up, they've got this bye week, and after that it's ULM. So hopefully this will be a recuperating couple of weeks. And I don't know. I mean, throughout the bye week, I think you got to work a little bit on the – There's no problem with doubling down on ball control. Peyton Thorne did phenomenal with that. Keep that going. But also, as you said, costly fumble late in the game, not by Thorne. But then you gotta keep developing that rhythm on the passing game and hopefully rest up a Hunter, Jarquez Hunter, that will be better utilized.
Absolutely. They need to be giving him the ball more. Again, that's run the ball.
Yeah,
Auburn should be a running offense, primarily a running offense. But I am really happy with the performance of the passing game this past game, as well as our receivers. You know, they averaged right at about 13, 14 yards per catch.
Yeah, it was a pretty balanced receiving core.
Our only score was a touchdown throw to the tight end, Rivaldo Fairweather. He's stepping up, and when he's not in a blocking position in a run play, he's stepping up in the receiving game and doing what he needs to do. We just need to see more running game. I mean, it's just it's to me, it's as simple as that. It just needs to run the ball more.
Yeah, and I also wanted to tackle this because you and I had mentioned this shortly before going live. You are very active in, if not speaking in them, you just keep track of them. Some of these forums that are going around, these message boards with Auburn fans in the War Eagle community, and you've noticed that there is, with all of these concerns that we're listing, some talks about perhaps a new OC in Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, that was one of the primary conversations that I kept up with for this past week was, you know, Hugh Freeze, he is an offensive coordinator. That's how he became a head coach.
That's his specialty.
Yeah, he started off as an offensive coordinator and then got into the head coaching. So his primary focus is on offense. DJ is our defensive coordinator, and that's all he's ever been, as a defensive guy. So the talk now is bring in an offensive coordinator and let the offensive coordinator do what an offensive coordinator does, run the offense. And Hugh Freeze focus entirely on being a head coach.
Yeah.
We're not suffering in the recruiting. We're not suffering in retention of players. It's just we're not putting together a performing offense on a consistent basis. We're still making mistakes, the same kind of mistakes we were making in the first three or four games of the year. That's what's got to change, and I think most of the conversations I've been reading in the chat rooms have revolved around Hugh Freeze's, you know, he can't micromanage the offense as a head coach. He needs to bring in an offensive coordinator and take some of that burden off of him. And that gives the kids a single place to look for guidance and leadership in their practices and their game planning, and give that particular coach more opportunity to identify where his strengths and weaknesses are and make his adjustments without involving the head coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, chat rooms are chat rooms. They are what they are.
Folks with opinions.
You know, sometimes they gather traction or they gain traction. Sometimes it's just communications that 2 weeks from now we'll completely forget about.
Yeah. And if you haven't looked – In a message board or a chat room of a struggling team, I would give it a try. Sometimes it's pretty funny what some people are spewing out there. But I do think, when you look at this team, you look at the talent that they have on paper, and it all comes down to the application on offense, well, then maybe these new OC talks are not completely unfounded, or at least not completely invalid.
Yep. Those chat rooms and group communications are like any kind of group communication you would have with your group of friends. You got one or two people on the extreme and in each direction. But the middle of that conversation is the part that I try to take something away from and see if it's really going to gain any traction and actually mean something for the program.
Absolutely. You are listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. When we return, we'll look at some of this stuff swirling around Auburn athletics. It doesn't have to do so much with football, especially with the bye week on the horizon. A lot of hype that Bill has touched on before regarding the basketball season, and Auburn Tigers showed up early here against Vermont. We got details on that and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Florida cares about women and families. Last year, Florida provided nearly $500 million to support pregnant women and their families. No woman can go to jail for having an abortion, and abortions are available before a child's heartbeat is detected, and in cases of rape or incest, and at all points in pregnancy to save the life and health of the mother. This message is sponsored by the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street, featuring performer Angel Beau, November 14th through 16th, a show you won't want to miss. Enjoy extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your nights where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Northwest Florida, listen up. Get ready for some thrilling news. Pensacola Young Professionals is bringing together young minds with a shared passion for making a positive impact in the community. Their mission? Developing and retaining young talent in the greater Pensacola area, all while being a catalyst for change. Don't miss out on their incredible monthly events at PensacolaYP.com. Mark your calendars and get ready to make a difference in your community.
The Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition is a local nonprofit that directly serves new or pregnant moms and their babies by providing education, support, and interventions to those who are at risk of a poor birth outcome or delay in development. Our fatherhood program, Team Dad, is a free mentorship program that helps develop relationship skills, finance, and overall personal development to help fathers be the best dad they can be for their families. To learn more, visit healthystart.info.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas.
So how do you know which games we're carrying?
Easy. Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can listen to ESPN on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., your ESPN Pensacola mobile app, you know, all that good stuff. In here with the studio, in here in the studio with you is Austin Price and Bill Clark, as always. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Auburn, of course. There was a lot of negatives to take with a 17-7 home loss, but there were some positives that we saw. We know that this team has the manpower. It's just a matter of execution. We saw it last the prior week with Kentucky. We saw how well Peyton Thorne did by his typical standard. So I think we ended that on a rather positive note. But speaking of positive notes, not only does Auburn have a chance to regroup with the bye week, but Auburn's men's basketball has been doing quite stupendous, dare I say.
Yep, last night was the official first game of the season. We played a couple of exhibition games ahead of this, but Auburn played Vermont. It was a home game for Auburn. We won it 94-43.
Yeah.
And it was never in doubt. From the first 6 minutes of the ball game, it was clear that Auburn had better shooters, better athletes, faster. They had the big guys were hanging around under the basket to get the rebounds offensively and defensively. It was just, I've talked about it more than once on this radio program that I'm excited about the Auburn basketball program, and they absolutely lived up to my expectations last night. It was fun watching it.
Yeah, and you know, people will hear about the talent gap that was visible on the court, and they'll look at Vermont and say, oh, come on, it's Vermont. Vermont, they're a smaller program, but they go to tournaments.
Yes.
It's not like we're talking about Charleston Southern here. Vermont goes to the tournament. They made the big dance just a couple years ago. So they are a
– Yeah, they're not a bad program.
Yeah, they're a smaller school, but that doesn't mean they're some ignoramus school. They are very powerful. However, they may be incompetent compared to some of these other teams you got on the schedule. What do we got there?
Yeah, we're going to have a tough road to hoe, so to speak, coming up. Auburn's next basketball game is against number 4 Houston at Houston, and this is a Saturday night game. So we don't have football to watch this week, but we certainly have a marquee matchup, Auburn men's basketball. It's an 8:30 p.m. game, and it'll be at Houston, and Houston's ranked number 4. And it doesn't get a whole lot easier in the coming weeks. The next out of the next 4 games, two of those are against ranked teams as well. We go to Iowa State on November the 25th. Iowa State's ranked number 5, and then we go to Duke the very next game, and they're ranked number 7. The nice thing is the performance that I saw out of the kids on the program last night was awesome. Chad Baker-Mazzara and Johnny Broom, those two played on the team last year and were outstanding ball players. Johnny Broom, obviously, being arguably the number 1 player in NCAA right now in the men's basketball league. Several of our transfers that we picked up in the portal stepped up. J.P. Pegues came from Furman. He had 8 points. Miles Kelly from Georgia Tech had 21 points.
Wow.
Chaney Johnson, you may know that name because he came from Utah.
Oh.
He had 13 points. Dylan Cardwell was another player that we've had on the team that was – he's always – Auburn's the only place he's ever played. He had great rebounding and assist. One of the coolest names in basketball, Denver Jones.
That sounds like some old school superstar.
Yeah, it's a cool name whether it's basketball or football. But Denver Jones, he had a great game. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 16 points. So we're getting the performance out of the transfers that filled in the gaps that were left open from the kids that left from last year's program and the kids that came back. Chad Baker-Mazzara, Johnny Broom, and Denver Jones, and Dylan Cardwell. They all performed well.
Yeah,
there were 10 players with points on our team. 10 players that were that scored points on the basketball court last night. So our bench is pretty deep. It definitely a fast team. And our two bigs, Cardwell and Johnny Broom, were all over the basketball, under the basket. It was just – I really am excited about what Saturday's going to bring playing against Houston. I'm not going to be I'm an Auburn guy, so I'm going to pick Auburn to win the game. But that's a tough place to go play, and they're ranked number 4 for a reason. They're good.
Yeah.
So this is going to be this game's going to show us exactly what we got against people with the same speed and the same athleticism, and it's going to be what a great way to start the season.
Yeah.
Ranked number 11, and you played the number 4 team at their place as your second game of the regular season. It's just exciting. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, I mean, it does look like, and I know Vermont, they're a tough team, but, you know, it's early in the year, so it may sound a bit optimistic at best, delusional at worst to say this, but it's good to see that Auburn is firing on all cylinders. Everything looks like it's going their way. You got a lot of returning talent. You got a lot of new talent, a lot of depth. You talked about the 10 scoring players. I do think that if you can beat Houston, and I told you before, not even beat them, just compete with them. If you can compete with Houston, they made a Final Four a couple years ago. If you compete with Iowa State, weren't they a 2 seed last year? Mm-hmm. If you can compete with Duke, that the name alone speaks for itself. If you can face teams like that, I think you'll be ready for SEC play, though it is a pretty deep SEC slate, not just in the conference standings, but with who Auburn faces. You said they've got they encounter Tennessee, they encounter Arkansas.
We play Texas, Arkansas.
Texas is now a new one you had to consider.
Kentucky, Alabama's ranked number two.
Yep.
We play all of them. I think we play all of them at least twice. I think Texas we may only play once. But it doesn't get any easier once it gets into SEC play, which is obviously towards the end of the season. But the conference schedule is tough. But this pre-conference schedule is tough.
Right.
Playing ranked teams, three ranked teams in your first six games, that's you better be firing on all cylinders when you get on the floor, because they're not going to be expecting anything less.
Right. Well, and it sounds like Auburn's going to be one of those teams where, because they've already, we're not talking about some newfound potential here. This is a team that we've mentioned these past couple weeks. Auburn was like a four seed in last year's tournament. They are becoming a more consistent contender. And if let's say this team makes the bracket, let's say they kind of have some hurdles that they some of which they can't clear. So let's say they enter as a seven seed. We'll just say that. If they enter as a middle of the road team in the bracket, that is a Cinderella. I'm circling right away. But this is going to be one of the most battle tested teams in the country based on the out of conference and based on, I can't believe I'm saying this, but how deep the SEC is in basketball as well.
Yeah, well, we made the Final Four in 2019. All of this success is a product of Bruce Pearl having him as a coach. So I'm looking forward to it.
You're like, I'm doing all right. Also, I wanted to squeeze this in for time, and we do have a few minutes here, and we may touch on it a bit more as we go through the SEC slate in our next segment. But just kind of looking at the first playoff rankings, you know, because a lot of people, they just look at the presidential election as the most important thing from Tuesday, but it actually wasn't. It was the CFP rankings being released, at least in my personal life. We've got Oregon number one, Ohio State number two, Georgia number three, Miami four, Texas five. Weren't many shifts in the top 13. There was one move amongst the top 13 teams, and it was Ohio State jumping Georgia. Let me just get your thoughts on that. What do you think? Do you think that's supposed to be just some, hey, we personally think Ohio State deserves it more, nothing more to it? Or do you think this is some dastardly deed that the committee has committed here?
Well, I mean, Georgia's had some rough games leading up to where they are now.
Yeah.
They've won some tight games. They've barely won some games they should have won handily.
Right.
So I think that ranking right there is fine.
And I personally agree 100%. I'm not, you know, I am all for acknowledging that you play in the SEC, it's the toughest conference, but I always was sickened to my core whenever people tried to act like that gave you a pass. I never believed in that at all. I was never in the corner of, oh, yeah, sure, this team has struggled left and right, and they've got a couple losses here and there, but, hey, they play in the SEC. No. If it's that bad for you, leave the friggin' conference. That was always my way of thinking. So I appreciate that the committee is trying to hold Georgia to a higher standard here, and I loved your answer. They saw the struggles. Ohio State hasn't played as tough of a schedule, but they went on the road against Penn State. They won. Their only loss is on the road to number one Oregon by a single point, and they've dominated most of their remaining competition. I know they kind of struggled with Nebraska, but at least it's a winning team. Georgia couldn't escape Mississippi State. They only beat Kentucky by one point. Kentucky is terrible this year. And we'll touch on this more later, but they also had a bit of a scare against Florida, excuse me.
Yeah, it's about living up to expectations, and Ohio State has lived up to their expectations, and Georgia, win-wise, has, but
yeah,
performance-wise, hasn't.
Quality of loss also matters as well. I'm glad you mentioned, you know, as far as their win count, yes, their one loss, you also have to consider, the committee doesn't even have Bama in the top 10. They don't see Bama as a top 10 team today. So for Georgia to lose that game, especially in the first half how they did, 28-0, like, what the heck are we doing here? When you look at that, I do think they're like, okay, Georgia, along with your struggles, your loss looks worse. You lost to a worse opponent, and you lost to them uglier. So I think that is I think that's something else that they're holding Georgia accountable for. And as you said, we're not trying to sit here and say Georgia's not good, not trying to say they're not a contender, but when the bar, when the sky's the limit for the Dogs, they have just not looked the part.
Yeah, the analytics and those first four teams, it makes sense for them to be ranked like they are.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I'm not going to say the team I'm talking about. We'll talk about them in the next segment. But Bill, I'm going to go ahead and show you something here. I don't buy this team for a moment. Just going to say that. All righty, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from ESPN Pensacola. Every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. When we return, I'll tell you the team I was talking about. I've mentioned why I don't buy them before. But we've got that and more along with the SEC slate all coming up right here on War Eagle Weekly. Did I just forget the name? Did you hear that hesitation? My goodness, I'm a professional, I swear. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Did you know the Port of Pensacola is more than just a name? It's the economic engine of Northwest Florida, a strategic powerhouse fueling growth with over 30 top-tier businesses like C-MEX, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and soon, the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the port has been the heartbeat of our region's success, driving prosperity and opportunity. Discover the force behind our future at portofpensacola.com. Boat lovers, the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show has been rescheduled for Saturday, November 23rd from 10 till 4. Marine Max will be showcasing the best brands in boating with exclusive boat show pricing and special incentives only at this event. Fuel your day with delicious chef-curated eats, complimentary beverages, local vendors, and live raffles from noon till 1. Mark your calendars. Don't miss the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, Saturday, November 23rd. Marine Max, 1901 Cypress Street, Pensacola.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Our mission at the UWF Historic Trust is to collect, preserve, interpret, and share the rich history of Northwest Florida. With more than 30 properties spread out over 9 acres, we bring the history of our region to life. Whether you're enjoying events at the Museum of Commerce, afternoons at the Children's Museum, reenactments at the Historic Village on Zaragoza Street, or day trips to Arcadia Mill, the UWF Historic Trust is the cultural destination host of Northwest Florida. Learn more at historicpensacola.org.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Cochin Four Steakhouse. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. As always, Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, I went ahead and showed you because we've got a screen here that we're looking at, but a computer monitor. But for those who were wondering, Austin, who don't you buy? Miami. And I don't think this is a hot take. I don't think I'm blowing your mind here. I don't buy Miami for a moment. You said it right before we went live. They should have lost to Va Tech. Of course they should have. Many argued they should have lost to Cal. They gave up 45 to Louisville, though that loss, or that close win, excuse me, is looking better now that Louisville's ranked. But I don't know. I look at Miami, and I think they are riding solely on record alone. And I think honestly, being fourth, part of that falls on preseason ranking. I don't know if they're even as high as four if they do not start the preseason ranked decently in the AP poll.
I agree with you there. Some of their losses were were miracles, and they pulled them off at the last moment.
Yep.
The Va Tech one is the one that really stands out to me. Like you say, it's their preseason, and it's also legacy. You know, with them being Miami, I think an undefeated team that deserves to be in the number four spot is Indiana.
Indiana. And, you know, people are going to bring up their weak resume. First of all, Miami has a weak resume. But also, when it gets to Indiana, every time you've kind of looked at them and you're like, ooh, they might trip up here, or this might be the game that gets them, they show up. Nebraska was supposed to be the game that tripped them up. They won 56-7. They were down 10-0 to Michigan State last weekend, and you thought, uh-oh, they're done for. Wrong. Indiana scored 47 straight points, blew them out. And people may look at those teams and say, oh, well, those guys are weak. You have to consider Indiana's typical standard. You have to consider the caliber of talent they bring in compared to some of these other teams. And you have to consider just how badly they're decimating them. Indiana's going to get their shot in a couple weeks. They got Ohio State in Columbus. And I think they can win that game. We were just giving Ohio State a lot of praise because we think they deserve to be ranked higher than Georgia right now. But that's not an easy win for the Buckeyes.
As much as we were identifying how Auburn is underperforming, Indiana is overperforming.
Yes.
They are outperforming their expectations, and they're doing it by playing solid football. The few moments of their games that I've been able to watch, it's only been a handful, it's impressive how disciplined and precise that team is with what they do with the football on the field, and they have a very good defense this year.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. We kind of mentioned them in passing earlier. Penn State, they lost at home to Ohio State. Seems like James Franklin's never going to beat those sons of guns again. Do you think that is a fireable offense, or do you think it may just point the gun at Franklin but not pull the trigger?
You know, not knowing that much about Penn State other than, you know, their legacy, I don't know that this would be the game that would that game in this particular season would be the one that would put him on the hot seat. I mean, it makes no sense. They only have one loss. They're 7-1.
Why would
a coach with a 7-1 record be on the hot seat? If that loss were to anybody other than Ohio State, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It's the Ohio State thing. It's the same kind of rivalry, Penn State-Ohio State, as it is with Ohio State-Michigan or an Auburn-Alabama. That loss means more because of who the opponent was.
Yeah.
But I still don't see that as being a fireable offense. He should not be on the hot seat just for that. If it's something that happens, you know, 8 straight years in a row, then – maybe I could see having
it has happened 8 straight years in a row.
Well, not for that coach.
Well, James Franklin, he beat him in 2016, and he's lost to him every year since then.
Wow.
You're like, well, maybe he is in the hot seat.
Well, okay, that, you know, their fan base is maybe having that conversation for that reason.
They absolutely are. Well, and Penn State, they are supposed to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of this 12-team bracket, because it was. It's like, okay, you're good, but you play in a tough conference. But you're just left out. Now this is supposed to be their year. He does. Jim Harbaugh's out of the picture. Ryan Day had to go to Happy Valley, and to see this loss, I think it's very demoralizing. I think what's going to pull the trigger on Franklin, as I mentioned earlier, Penn State plays like a 6-3 Minnesota right before rivalry week or something. If you lose that game, you're done. If you make the playoffs and get first rounded, boom, you lose bad, you get sent packing. I think you're done. But anyway, I digress. Before we get into the SEC games, I do want to give the playoff committee credit for one more thing. They prioritized head-to-head matchups, and I think you should. If you notice here, We've got Texas A&M ahead of LSU. Texas A&M beat LSU by double digits.
Absolutely.
But in the AP poll, LSU's ahead of A&M today. We've got K-State beating Colorado on the road. But in the AP poll, Colorado's ranked ahead of K-State. That's ridiculous. And now you've got Louisville. They went into Death Valley, beat Clemson by double digits. Louisville is still several spots behind Clemson in the AP poll, but the committee went ahead and slapped Louisville ahead of them. Just dropped Clemson all the further and gave Louisville credit. So I appreciate the committee for doing that because apparently the AP voters just forget what games happened throughout the season. All righty, speaking of games that are happening, looking ahead to this weekend in the SEC, we got Florida at Texas. Texas, of course, especially at home, that's a bit of a scare. Florida has underperformed objectively, but when you look at what was expected of them this season, and you look at the fact that they competed with Georgia for the bulk of the game last week, and they just had some quarterback issues that may have paved the way for Georgia to pull away late, I find myself feeling bad for Florida and thinking they could be doing better than they are. Do you think they have a chance to go into Austin and beat Texas?
I don't believe that Florida is going to beat Texas, but I do not like the point spread. I don't think it's a 21-point game between Florida and Texas.
It's a pretty ugly point spread there. I think if Texas does win by that much, it's because of injuries holding Florida back. And with it being in Texas, I think they're going to be all the more liberal and, like, looking at Texas and saying, oh, yeah, you're going to win heavy. But if they do, I think Billy Napier has already proven he deserves more time. I think he's already proven that he deserves more time in Gainesville, at least another year. So I'll take Texas. They may not win by that much, though. I agree with you. I think Florida's playing some pretty physical ball. Number two, Georgia. At number 16, Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the Penn State of the SEC. Georgia, I think, is becoming the new Bama in the sense of we struggle, but we show up for big games. See the Texas game. Do you think Georgia goes in there and wins by more than the 2.5-point spread?
No. I actually see Ole Miss winning this game.
Wow, really?
Yeah, a home game for Ole Miss. Georgia is a lot more vulnerable than that record suggests, obviously, with the games that they've played, especially the Kentucky game. They didn't really perform all that great against Auburn until late.
Yeah, so, no, they did. They struggled with Auburn.
Ole Miss is, take all the chances. They're run and gun. You know, they've got Jackson Dart is having a great season. I don't understand why Lane Kiffin would be some of the chat rooms considering him leaving Ole Miss, but he's going to be ready for this game. Him and Kirby Smart have a history.
Yeah.
So, you know, this I just don't see Georgia going to Ole Miss and winning this game. I really don't. Not with the two teams that they have on the field this year.
I think it's a good game. I think Georgia wins, and I think they cover that 2.5-point spread, though. Then we got this game is sneaky good. South Carolina goes to Vandy. South Carolina 5-3, just beat up on A&M. Vandy 6-3, of course, just beat the Tigers on the road. That was huge for their program. South Carolina, nonetheless, a road favorite by 3.5. You think Vandy defies that?
Oh, absolutely. I like this game for Vandy, not with it just being a home game, but just with their quarterback, the way he's playing.
Yeah.
To me, South Carolina's question mark is their defensive backs. They haven't been able to stop the passing game as well. They have a good run defense.
Mm-hmm.
But Vanderbilt's passing offense, I think, is going to take advantage of this game, and they're going to win. It's going to be a home game for them. Their fan base is so jazzed up for this season.
they have a reason to be, yeah.
You know, a typical Vandy game previous to this year, you would go to a Vandy game and the home field side would be 60% occupied.
Yeah, they'd have five fans.
Not this season. They're going to fill that stadium because they're having a fantastic season. And
they're showing up because the team has showed up.
Absolutely. This is going to be one of the games where they're going to feed off that fan energy, which they normally don't. They don't have a whole lot of experience with. And it's going to make a difference for them in this game.
Yeah, I think I'm taking them because, you know, they're the home team. And I think if this were in South Carolina, I'd take the Gamecocks. But South Carolina is also riding off a much bigger win, blowing out a top 10 team. So I think South Carolina is going to be kind of feeling cocky, pun intended, they go into Vandy, and I'll take the home team Commodores there.
Yeah, they risk coming into this game with a hangover.
Yeah. Mississippi State, I think their entire season's been a hangover, or at least from a fan's perspective it has. They travel into Tennessee, take on the 7th-ranked Volunteers, Tennessee favored by 24.5. We're running out of time in this segment anyway. Just tell me who you got winning.
Tennessee, and they cover.
Yeah. Number 11, Alabama, at number 15, LSU. Alabama, road favorite, 2.5. I'm going to tell you right now, I got LSU winning this football game.
I do, too.
Yeah, home team, it's 6:30 p.m., prime time, Death Valley. LSU hates Alabama.
Death Valley at night, no question, LSU.
And both teams are battling for their playoff hunt here. If you lose a third game, you're finished. And then we got Oklahoma at Mizzou. This is another game, man. I'm taking the home team. Missouri is still ranked, controversially. They got a better record. And as I said, they are in Columbia, Missouri. But Oklahoma favored by 3.
I like Missouri at home.
Yeah, Oklahoma's just really been a – they've got the talent and coaching, I think, to compete. And I think it will be a good game overall. But they have just underperformed.
Well, they have too many injuries.
That too. And they had struggles with their offensive identity anyway. So I think even with Mizzou being hurt as of a week or two ago, they're still in a position where, okay, if that cancels out with Oklahoma's own issues and Mizzou's at home, I think the Tigers will take care of it. 10:48, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. When we return, we'll look at some of the bigger games swirling around the country, and we'll give our take on if Auburn can win a bye week. I think they can. We'll talk about that and more coming up after the break.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Get ready, Alabama fans, for the Roll Tide Radio Show, Friday mornings from 10 till 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Get caught up on the latest Crimson Tide updates, game analysis, and upcoming matchups. Time to talk some football, Alabama football. The Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 till 11 a.m. brought to you by Cantomat Ace Hardware right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Roll Tide.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at pensacolasings.org.
Studer Community Institute is a nonprofit committed to making our community a better place to live by building brains, building jobs, and building community. Building brains are our efforts to inform and empower parents on the importance of early brain development. Building jobs includes programs to help local entrepreneurs succeed, along with skills training opportunities for business leaders. It all builds community, including many partnerships that enhance our vision of making Pensacola the best place to live in the world. Get involved by visiting our website, studeri.org.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And as always, this show is brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse. Something else you get every week is Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, where we left off, we were talking about some of the SEC games swirling around. And the SEC actually holds a very promising distinction, I think, when it comes to ranked-on-ranked games this weekend. The SEC has the only two, and we've already touched on them. We've got LSU beating Alabama. We've got, you and I disagree about the Ole Miss game. You got Ole Miss winning at home. I got Georgia winning on the road and covering the narrow spread. However, similarly to last week, whenever you see a lot of ranks playing unranks, you get yourself in a position where we could see some upset alerts. We had several last week. Iowa State lost, K-State lost, so on and so forth. I look at some of these, and I see similar concerns, including number four Miami goes to 5-4 Georgia Tech. I see that as a huge red flag.
Yeah, this could be an upset for the week.
Yeah, and in Miami, just for the record, think about all the other teams that are ranked in the top five. If they went to Georgia Tech, who's 5-4, what do you think the spread would be if you just had to approximate?
Probably 20 and a half.
Miami is favored by 11. They are favored by two scores. That's it. I think some of them, like Oregon, if Oregon went to Georgia Tech.
Oh, it'd be close to 30.
Exactly. You're seeing through the spread the gaps in this team as far as its ability to pull away from its opposition. And not only that, but the over-under for this game, 63 and a half. That's how terrible Miami's defense is. That's an upset alert. I hate to be ragging on the Canes so much, but it's true. All right. I think this is another upset alert. Iowa State, I said they would lose to Texas Tech last week, or at least that they could. They did. They now go to Kansas. Kansas is 2-6, but Kansas has Lance Leopold, who was one of the most proven coaches in the country. Iowa State, despite being 7-1 and facing a 2-6 team, is only favored by 3. Do you think Kansas can get a win here?
They very well could. Iowa State has shown that they are vulnerable. I just don't really know that much about Kansas to know what they have offensively.
Yeah, they've just struggled a lot. They've looked good in some games. They gave Kansas State a scare, but you're going to lump that under, oh, well, that was a rivalry game. You know, so I don't know what to make of it. I think Kansas is kind of hit or miss, and I do think they're better than their record implies, but that could just be because of what they've done recently. I'll take Iowa State, but they struggle in that one. Clemson. They got exposed at home by Louisville, got beat up. They now go to 5-4 Va Tech in Lane Stadium. However, Clemson is favored by 6. Do you think Va Tech covers? Do you think Clemson bounces back, tries to send a message? Or do you think Va Tech just kicks them while they're down?
I think this could be another upset because Clemson did not look all that great. And Virginia Tech, if they play the way they did against Miami, even though they lost that game on that weird call in the end zone, Virginia Tech could very well beat Clemson, especially with it being home, a home game for them. That will make the difference.
Yeah, I'll take Clemson. I'll take them winning by one possession, whether they win by 6 or not, I don't know. But I'll take them to win by one possession. I'll say that they struggle, and I think that's going to kind of validate the example that the committee tried to make out of them by putting them as low as 23rd. Number 25, Army, unbeaten. Now, Army's in the top 20 in the AP poll. That's one bad thing about the committee. They don't really care for cute little underdog stories. If you don't look the part with your strength of schedule, they're not interested. Army goes on the road to 5-3 North Texas. This is right before a bye week, and right after the bye week comes Notre Dame. So Army could very well be looking ahead. Do you think the Mean Green kind of give them a run for their money?
They may be able to keep up with Army early in the game, but not late. Army's got a solid defense. They're ranked for a reason. They're also undefeated for a reason. They're able to score points and finish drives.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm very partial to Army, being an Army vet. So I like the Knights going in there and taking care of business.
I think they very well could. And I think they will win. A lot of these are just kind of upset alerts, not upset declarations. I do think Army will win, but they've been blowing out a lot of their competition. I think you don't win by much, maybe by 10 or so. I don't think you beat the doors off of North Texas. Number 20, Colorado. They are traveling to Texas Tech. Texas Tech just got that huge win over Iowa State. Colorado finally looking the part. We always hear about how great they are of athletes on paper and how well coached they are. But now Prime's actually got them looking good. Do you think they can go into Lubbock and beat the Red Raiders?
If this were an early game in the, like 11 a.m., I would say no. But with it being a later game, I think they will.
Really? So it's 3 p.m.
Because even though it's not that far to travel, it's just that extra couple hours of rest will make a little bit of a difference. Colorado is the better team.
Oh, for sure.
So I see Colorado taking care of business there.
All right, and then there's not many other big games throughout the night. We do have number 9, BYU, traveling to Utah. Utah's 4-4. It's a big rivalry. They're at home. BYU favored by 3.5. Do you think BYU gets the dub?
I think they're going to get a scare.
I took Utah to win.
It wouldn't surprise me if Utah won, but it's not gonna be a runaway either way.
Yeah, they're better than their record. They're well-coached, and as you said, regardless of who wins, it's going to be one heck of a game. And then we'll touch on this one very quickly. Florida State at Notre Dame. It's local. It's important. It's got a top 10 team. Do you think Notre Dame can hold on?
Man, I love my Florida State fans that are friends of mine. I love you. I love you. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, Notre Dame's going to run you off the field. All right, you've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. Austin Price, Bill Clark here with you. We'll see you next week. Auburn on a bye. Next up, it's ULM.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.